I do want to say we're going to worship some more today, so don't worry. He is moving. He is moving, and he is good. And today is a really special day for us because it's Baptism Sunday. If you just quickly look over there, you see everyone that's like headed out of the auditorium. It's amazing. And in just a moment, we're going to watch those people step into the water to be baptized. And in total this morning, we've had 29 people say yes to Jesus and yes to being baptized. I think we had 11 in the first service, so that means we have 18 in this service. Don't hold me accountable to my math. But every one of those baptisms, every one of those folks that just walked out of this auditorium to line up, it represents a life changed by Jesus. A life completely changed by Jesus. It's a story of forgiveness. It's a story of freedom. And it is a story of new life in him. And that's one of the reasons that I love baptisms so much. And I love Baptism Sundays so much. We've got people and family that are going to be out there shouting, cheering them on. And it's a beautiful thing to watch. And before we hop in, I want to ask us a question. You like that transition? Have you ever wished that you could start over? Or maybe I should ask, how many times have you wished that you could start over? You know, for me and my 9-year-old son, Judah, we like to play sports video games. We like to play Madden football. We like to play NHL. And one of the things that we love the most when we do that is we create teams. It's called franchise mode. We pick a team, we choose our players, we get started, we play it for like a few days, and this question usually always pops up with Judah or myself. We say, you know, we don't really like this team. Do you just want to start over? It's like, really? You just want to start over. And we do. We start over. You know, it's easy. You just quit the mode and try again. And it's easy to start over in a video game. But what about something far more serious? Like starting over in your life. I've been there in that moment where it feels like you would do anything if you could just start over. Not just improve a few habits or try to make yourself better just a little bit. Not just turn over a new leaf and try to focus on something a little bit more with a little bit more endurance or a little bit more commitment. If we're honest, I think most of us can relate to trying to achieve a fresh start by just improving ourselves. And I'm not against improving ourselves. I'm not against self-help. I'm not against habit improvement. It's really important as a Christian that we grow with the Lord, that we are conformed into the image of Christ. And there's a lot of hard things that we need to do in that moment. And that is a good, good thing. But trying harder and just being better and making new promises isn't actually what the Bible teaches us. You see, the Bible teaches us something that's radically different than what we hear in the world. It's a radical truth that sometimes it seems so weird that we might not even believe it at our core. The Bible teaches us that Jesus didn't come just to help us slightly improve our old life. Jesus came to give us an entirely new one. Man, you don't want a Dustin that's up here when I'm dead in my sin and I'm just slightly improved. I'm just a little bit better. I'm telling you right now, Kristen doesn't want that Dustin, and you all don't want that Dustin. Jesus takes it one step farther, or maybe a million steps farther, and he says, I am going to make you brand new in my image. You know, in baptism, it's one of the clearest pictures that we have of that transformation. It means a lot, water baptism. It's not just a church tradition. It's not just a religious ritual that we get to be a part of. It's not just something that we decide to put on the schedule and say, you know, this would be good. It's not something that we do because Christians have always done it. You know, baptism tells a story. And the story that that baptism tells is the story of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it is a beautiful story. And there is no better story in this world for you and for me than the gospel of Jesus. Can I get an amen? It's the story of what Jesus has done for us. So this morning, just briefly, I want to look at what baptism means and why it truly matters so much. So if you have your Bibles with you, you can turn to Colossians 2. We're going to begin in verse 6. It will also be on the screen, but there's something about the pages in the Bible. When I hear them turning, I just love it. So humor me, somebody with a Bible. Thanks, Daniel. Colossians 2, 6, and we'll read until verse 15. It says, "And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will go strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking." That come from what? That come from what? High-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and the spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. We could stay there this morning for a long time, couldn't we? Verse 9, "For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. So you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority." This morning, we're taking a pause on our Revelation series, but you still need to know that even when we talk about water baptism, we're still gonna talk about Jesus, and we are still gonna talk about him being the head over every ruler and authority. Every ruler and authority. Don't forget it. Verse 11, "When you came to Christ, you were circumcised, but not by a physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of your sinful nature. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. You were dead because of your sins, and because of your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ. For he forgave all our sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, because of this, so then, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on a cross." Can I get another amen? I'm keep gonna asking you that this morning. He is worthy to be praised. And these aren't just scriptures that we read and we say, oh, that's great. No, this is what's happening in water baptism. Buried with Christ, raised with Christ. Baptism, it's really weird. It's like a funeral and it's like a birth happening at the same time. We go under that water and we die. We come up raised to life in Jesus. The funeral is your old life and the birth is the beginning of your new life in Christ. Baptism, it's identifying with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And today I just wanna look at three baptism truths that we see through this scripture. And the first truth declares this. Number one, Jesus buries our old life. Do you believe it? Do you believe that he buries your old life? We must understand that before Christ, scripture says that we were dead in sin, completely dead, completely separated from God. We were actually unable to fix ourselves in that moment. And there was even a record of charges against us. that really stuck out to me as I was prepping for this message, a record of charges against us. You're kind of like, whoa, maybe I didn't even do anything. Why are there charges against me? So whether your story feels really broken and maybe quote unquote bad, your pre-salvation story, or maybe you grew up in church and you thought, I'm actually not that bad. I didn't do some of the things that Dustin did. The Bible says that we are equally dead in our sins. There's no really bad and not quite as bad and acceptable and I'm just gonna get saved by coming to church. We're equally really, really bad and really dead in our sin. You know, it doesn't matter if you sold drugs or you never touched a drug in your life. There was a record of wrongs against us just for being born under the curse. But something incredible happened at the cross. Jesus took the record of charges against us and he put it on himself and he nailed it to the cross forevermore. All the things that kept us from God, all the things, Jesus put it on his shoulder, hung on a cross to forgive you of your sin, paid in full, forgiven and removed forever. Removed forever. And that's what Jesus makes possible. And that's why today is such a celebration. Baptism is a picture of that forgiveness. When someone goes under the water, it represents death to their old life and they come up new. When they go down under that water, that old sin, that old shame, that old identity, whatever they had before the Lord, because of Jesus's work, it is buried. Romans 6 through 4, it says, "For we died when we were buried with Christ by baptism, and just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives." And I just felt prompted to share this. You know, sometimes when we do have a bad story or we do have things that have been buried with Christ, there is this tendency to pick up a shovel, to go back to the burial site and think that you want to start maybe poking around there. Think that you want to start maybe digging some of that stuff back up. We know that there's life over here in Jesus, but there is this draw. But man, I was so lost. Or that thing that I did. And we can think about it and be drawn back to this site, this burial site of our old past. And if we're not careful, we get stuck there and we can fall back into that hole. And it starts in our mind. It starts with us thinking about that old past, thinking about past shame, thinking about guilt. Man, Jesus draws us to something better. Let dead things be dead. Let dead things stay buried. That's what he did for us on the cross. Sometimes I think about that in my life. I'm like, Jesus, I know what you did for me and I believe it and I receive it. And I wonder how much it breaks your heart knowing that maybe I'm gonna return to what was buried a little bit. Man, he's got something better for you. And maybe you don't even have those memories of the quote unquote bad stuff. Don't go to your life and what it was like before you said yes to Jesus. Don't go back to your shame. Resist the temptation to keep going back to that grave because baptism declares that my old life has been buried with Christ. And what's beautiful is it gets even better. Baptism doesn't only represent forgiveness. We don't stay underwater, do we? Thank God those people go down under the water and come back up. You know, Jesus didn't stay in the grave. Jesus didn't stay in the grave. Point number two, Jesus raises us to new life in him. Jesus raises us to new life. Colossians 2, verse 12, it says, you were buried with Christ when you were baptized. Thank God it continues. And with him, you were raised to new life. When someone comes up out of that water, it represents resurrection life in Jesus Christ. Jesus gives us a new life. He gives us a new beginning. This is why Christianity can never just be about behavior modification. It can't be about little fixes. The Bible, like I said, tells us something way more radical. You were dead, now you're alive. We don't just try harder. We don't just act better. True Christian life, it's built on death and it's built on resurrection. And every single day we have the decision to make, am I going to die to myself today and be raised to life in him? This is about a spiritual rebirth. It is a spiritual rebirth. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. Say, I'm a new person. Say, I'm a new person. A new person. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. See, Jesus doesn't only forgive you, he transforms you. He transforms you from the inside out. Sometimes he transforms us so much. We're like, what happened to that old me? Holy cow. It almost catches us by surprise. New desires. Can you relate? Can you relate to a new heart in him? Can you relate to new purpose in him? Can you relate to new direction in him? I might not know exactly what happened, but I know that on September 12th, 2010, I walked into church one way and I walked out a different way. Like desires, stuff that I sought after, my own heart of selfishness and pride. There was a lot of work to be done, but I became brand new in him. I became a new creation in him. I carried shame and I carried guilt and I disrespected people like crazy. And I had zero desire for people. People might have called me like a people person on the surface, but they didn't know my heart. They didn't know that I truly didn't care. I didn't care about people at all. I took advantage of them. I lied to them. Man, I care about each and every one of you so much that it is only an act of God that changed my heart. Compassion for people, when I would make fun of people or fight people or beat people up, whatever it may be, I'm not going to beat any of you up. Desires. I'm also not saying that I could. Come on. It is only an act of the Holy Spirit, and it's only possible through Jesus Christ. He changes our desires. He makes us new. He gives us a new direction and a purpose. And at that moment, I had no idea what that purpose was. I really had no idea what that direction was, but I was set on fire just to follow him. Jesus, how is it possible that you forgive me this much? How is it possible that you died for me and then you raised me to new life? He's done that for each and every one of you in here, all of you watching online, no matter what your story is. He's a beautiful Savior. See, that's what's so important about baptism. Because Jesus didn't only model it, he commanded it for his church. One of two ordinances, breaking of bread and baptism. It's way more than just something that we do. In fact, Matthew 28:19, it says, therefore go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, See, baptism, it's not just something that we do because Jesus told us to. Sometimes I know as Christians, we can fall into that trap. Why am I doing this? I don't know. Jesus just told me to. There's more to it. We do it because it is a declaration. Baptism is a declaration that our sins are forgiven, a declaration that our lives are made new, and a declaration that Jesus has already won the victory. Come on. And that leads to the third truth for this morning. Baptism, it's not only about forgiveness, and it's actually not only about new life. There's a third thing. Maybe it's gonna get a little loud in here. It's also about victory. Jesus gives us victory. Man, it's the calling card for the Christian. I'm not saying victory doesn't mean we don't walk through stuff. I know it firsthand. But man, we walk victorious in Jesus. Man, Colossians 2:15, I want to go back to it. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on a cross. You know, Jesus's victory on the cross didn't only forgive all sins, it defeated all of them. It defeated all sin. It defeated death. This isn't just vague spiritual language that we use. Oh my gosh, it is so much more than that. Baptism is the public declaration of victory. Public declaration of victory. My old life is gone. Jesus has made me new, and I will walk in victory. Can we give him a hand clap so I can blow my nose? This morning, what we actually get to do is disarm spiritual rulers and authority and shame them publicly. We shame them publicly because victory belongs to Jesus Christ. Did you know that this morning? Did you know you belong to his kingdom? Did you know that you belong to his victory? The victory that shamed and disarmed spiritual rulers and authority. Baptism is a public declaration of victorious loyalty to Jesus, the winner forevermore. Church, today, we are not just watching people get dunked in a tank. We're not just watching people get step into that water and come back up. It is so much more than that. We stand in agreement and we actually partner publicly with those people that are declaring, I am new in Jesus and I am going to walk in victory. Every baptism declares these three things. My past is forgiven, my life is made new, and my victory belongs to Jesus and church. That is worth celebrating. Let's pray this morning. Jesus, we thank you for what we're about to watch. It's not entertainment, Lord. Oh, we publicly shame the enemy this morning. We say we are going to stand on victory in Jesus. We thank you for what you're going to do. And right now, Holy Spirit, I pray that you protect every single individual who is taking this step. A hedge of protection around them. Encourage them, be with them. Holy Spirit, conform them into the image of Christ. We partner with what you're doing. We partner with your Spirit, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Just would like to ask you guys to take a quick seat. I think it's important that we just take a few moments to reflect on the Lord together as a church. He's moved wonderfully in this time together. I sense that he's just drawing people into himself. I know lunchtime's right around the corner. I know we might have plans on this Sunday, but let's honor him. After all, he is everything we want, amen? So why don't we just close our eyes for a moment? We can bow our heads. Just think about Jesus. Think about the man that came and did so many miracles. He walked earth like fully human and drew people to himself, drew hearts to himself. He was a man of sorrows. And think about his work for you and for me. The work on the cross, his body that was completely mocked and beaten. And he went to that cross for each and every one of us, willingly so. He could have called down for his own deliverance, but he didn't. He obeyed the will of the Father. And on that cross, he publicly declared victory and publicly shamed all spiritual powers. Your sin and your shame, it's on that cross. But Jesus didn't stay there. He went to the grave and he rose again 3 days later. And in him, we have victory. And I just want to ask you, have you met him? He's chasing after you. He's pursuing you with a burning heart. It doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter where you are in life. You don't have to clean yourself up first to say yes to him. All he wants is all of you. Do you remember the day that you met him? Remember the day when your sin was buried and he raised you to new life? If you're here and you're saying, you know what? I don't remember that day. I've never said yes to him. Or maybe you said yes to him a long time ago. You have the opportunity to experience his fullness in your life, complete restoration. And I want you to hear me. He wants you. He wants you, he wants your family, he wants your kids, he wants your grandparents. He's an all-consuming fire. So if that's you and you want to make a fresh decision and say yes to following Jesus, or maybe you've said yes a long, long time ago, you can make that decision this morning with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. I want everybody to repeat after me. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. I believe he came to earth, shed his blood on a cross for the forgiveness of my sin. I repent of my sin. I believe Jesus rose from the dead, so I can be raised from spiritual death and have eternal life. I believe in my heart and I say that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for making me new. I will never be the same again. Amen. I want to ask you to do something if you prayed that as a recommitment or you prayed that for the first time. Don't mind the person to your left or to your right. This is about you and King Jesus. If you prayed that for the first time, if you prayed it as a recommitment, I want you to lift up your hand. Our ushers have a Bible for you. I'm telling you, this is the best decision that you can ever make. Our ushers will give you a Bible. I just want to give this a few moments. I know what it feels like for that draw to be in your heart and a conflict and not know what to do. If it's you, just raise your hand. Can we just give Jesus praise this morning for what he's doing in the hearts of his people? If you received a Bible, your next step is water baptism. You learned about it this morning. It is the next step. So take that Bible, take that card to the connections room. It's at the back of the auditorium to my right. And maybe you're here and you're feeling a prompt to get baptized. You didn't receive a Bible. I'd encourage you to go back to connections as well. Doesn't matter how old you are, what stage of life you're in. You can go down under those waters and come back up as well. Amen? Amen. As we were closing service, my wife, Kristen, just had a brief prompt from the Spirit, and I just want to share it with you. You know, we've seen a lot of children up there being baptized, and it is significant. And we feel like the Lord just wants to remind us that the Lord can touch the hearts of our children, and they can know Jesus at a young age. So if you are worried about your kids, if you're worried about them at a young age, know that the Lord sees them, he loves them, he's for them, he's not against them, and they can experience God's presence too. He is worthy to be praised. Let's stand to our feet. If you're here and you need prayer for anything, you can come down to the front. We'll have a prayer team down here. If you're new to Worship Center, you can also stop by the Connections Room. And if you're a young adult aged 18 to 30, you can stop by our Young Adults Room at the back of the auditorium to the left. Can we just give Jesus another hand clap of praise this morning? He's worthy. Thanks, everybody, for being here. We love you guys. We'll see you next week.